Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here every day at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life, relevant, personal, and essential. Hi, everybody. With Richard Piper and Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And our purpose every weekday is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, and live it. We invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Call right now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. On yesterday's broadcast, we talked a little bit about worry, and today we're talking about peace and how to experience the peace of God. I've talked to just numerous men and women through my ministry experience, and when I ask if you had one thing that you would ask of God, what would it be? And the majority of folks that I've talked to answer the question, if I could just experience some peace in my heart, boy, I would just be so happy to experience peace. It's something we all long for. It's something that we all look for in life. We desire, we crave. How do we get it? And that's what we want to talk about on today's broadcast. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. If you have questions about experiencing the peace of God, or if you have comments about how you've learned to experience the peace of God, we would sure love to hear from you on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel. Bob, as you know, I'm down here in Florida serving with Blue Skies Ministries. It's a ministry that reaches out to families suffering from pediatric cancer. We have a number of families here, kids from ages, 1 year old up to 15 years old, with brain tumors, leukemia, other forms of cancer. And it's interesting in talking to the families and talking to the parents. They're certainly longing for peace in the midst of this circumstance, and you can certainly, understand why that is such a big deal for them. But one of the things that leads to a restlessness is not really knowing how you stand with God. And as I've asked the families here, guilt is a big part of the equation. And guilt over past, and maybe that's the reason you're experiencing what you're experiencing today, can certainly lead to a restlessness and a lack of peace in our hearts. And I think it's so important that we as believers and just people in general come to grips with what Christ Jesus accomplished for us at the cross, the fact that he took away our sins, and as the writer of Hebrews said, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds, and where these sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifice. When we can settle that issue in our hearts and let the blood of Christ remove the guilt that we are experiencing, then we're ready to experience the peace of God. So if you have questions on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you right now, 1-800-677-9377. Bob?
Yeah, and a question from, this is from Nurin, who writes to us from Arizona. Says, I know that you have spoken about this since I started listening to your broadcast, but for some of the new believers or new listeners, I have pointed to your radio program, especially those who listen in Sierra Leone, West Africa. On that side, a born-again is someone who does not go to parties, wear earrings, put on makeup, does not drink coffee because it has caffeine, and the list goes on. Even so-called believers who go to the Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Anglican, Presbyterian, Seventh-day Adventist, Kingdom Hall churches are convinced that when you call yourself a born-again, you must look like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that just sounds like a series of rules and regulations to follow, that you used to live in a certain way, and now you've adopted a new set of guidelines to lead you through life. The problem is, You won't live up to those guidelines. If a born-again doesn't drink caffeine, I guarantee you, you're going to struggle with that issue. At some point, you're going to think, I wonder what caffeine tastes like. I wonder why we can't drink it. And then you have a cup of coffee and you're thinking, man, I like coffee or I like Coke. And then you're wondering if you're born again at all. But so it's not about rules and regulations and rituals and those sort of things. Born again is new birth. We were born into this world. We came into this world on a particular day. The umbilical cord was cut. Breath came into these lungs of ours, and that's when our life started outside the womb. And there's a point in time when we're born again of the Spirit, born into the family of God. And it's an actual event. Something takes place inside of us, these spirits of ours, these human spirits that were dead, separated from God, are regenerated. They come to life, and then God sends His Holy Spirit to take up residence right there. And now we are led by the Spirit of God. It's an internal thing. That's what this new covenant is all about that I was just mentioning a few minutes ago, that God writes His laws on our hearts and in our minds. And we are led internally by the Spirit of God. And this life that we lead is a life marked by faith, hope, and love. Faith in Jesus Christ, anchored to the wonderful reality of what lies up ahead as far as our eternal presence with God, and all of that expressed today in love one for another. So that's the mark of the Christian life. It's not, whether you drink caffeine or don't drink caffeine or all those other things that were listed there. It's, are you abiding in Christ, walking by faith in Jesus Christ, and allowing that faith to be expressed in love one to another? That's what it means to be born again. You've become a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, of course, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. The phone lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. We are here every day at this time to address your questions and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we encourage your call right now. Lines open at 1-800-677-9377. During the month of June at Basic Gospel, we have a CD to aid your growth and understanding of what you hear each day on this broadcast. It's a message called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours this month as a gift from Basic Gospel. So go online to basicgospel.net and click the prominent link labeled A Gift for You. We'll get a copy out to you right away. Again, that's our new CD, The Basic Gospel Journey, our gift to you during the month of June. Well, Bob and Richard, a question from Neil concerning repentance for the Christian. He says, I understand that we do not ask for the forgiveness we already have, but how would you deal with passages such as the ones in Revelation 2 and 3 where Jesus tells the churches to repent?
Well, just that very way, Bob. It's a message to the churches. And the message is, you used to be, and there was a unique message to each of those seven churches in Turkey, what right. We know as Turkey today. And those messages were admonishing them, correcting them for attitudes, behaviors that are not in line with what it means to be living a life commensurate with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was challenging them and bringing them to a point of saying, as a church, repent, turn from that, and come back to your first love, was the message to one particular church. And he had several messages as well. But so that directive was to the church, to those specific churches. And I think probably that could be a message to churches today, to certain denominations who once were so grounded in the truth of the Word of God and so in line with what this gospel message is all about, who have strayed so far away. And I think these passages would be a challenge to them to come back to the basics of the gospel. And so that has nothing to do with, a personal repentance. That is something that is being directed to the churches that were mentioned there in Revelation.
Right. Okay, well, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. We're going to go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Wilfred, listening on WMCA. Wilfred, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Thank you, thank you. Good afternoon. My question is, when does one get the Holy Ghost? When one is baptized or when one believes?
Well, that's a great question, Wilfred, and it's when one believes. When you are born again, you are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, and then Christ Jesus sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. It is one complete transaction that takes place at the moment of salvation. There's no such thing as receiving Jesus Christ one day and then a subsequent event, you know, a week later, a month later, or a year later, that you receive the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ, you receive the total Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Because I realized when Jesus Christ was baptized by John, according to the Bible, then the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove.
Well, that was an identifying mark. That was a picture of the Trinity together. God's voice, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove, and Jesus Christ himself. You see the Trinity right there. So it wasn't that Jesus received the Holy Spirit at that particular moment in time. That was simply an identifying mark for the people of Israel to recognize Jesus for who he truly was, their long-awaited Messiah. But as far as we're concerned, when we believe, the moment we believe, we get the gift of God's Spirit. That is a transaction that takes place at salvation.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Thanks for your call. Good
Thanks,
question
Wilfred.
Today.
Yes, indeed. Wilfred, hold on. We have a gift for you. We're going to put you on hold and let our operator pick you up and give you a copy of our CD called The Basic Gospel Journey. We hope you enjoy it and benefit from it. And for any of our listeners who'd like to get that, simply go online to basicgospel.net, click a gift for you, and we'll get one of the way to you. Or you can call and talk to Billy at 1-800-727-2828. Just ask for your free copy of the CD, The Basic Gospel Journey. A question from Warren, Bob and Richard, concerning baptism, and he calls it the holy baptism, and he refers to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 36, 37, and 38, with the question, are Christians required to receive holy baptism to be truly saved and go to heaven?
Baptism, water baptism, and I'm sure that's what he is referencing, water baptism is not a part of the gospel message. The only thing that God asks of us is to respond in faith to the gospel message when it's delivered to us. And that gospel message is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And Paul was very clear on that point. He said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that God sent me to preach the gospel. And it's this gospel message that saves. He did not send me to baptize. And he goes on to say, you know, I'm glad I didn't baptize anyone. And then he recalls, oh, yeah, I did baptize Stephanus, the household of Stephanus. But as far as water baptism is concerned, that was it. And the reason his emphasis was on preaching the gospel and moving people to believe in their heart that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection meant eternal life for them. So water baptism is not a part of the gospel. It is a wonderful picture of what happens to us when we are saved. And I think when done correctly, it is a wonderful celebration that somebody can experience, celebrating the fact of what Christ has accomplished for him through his death, burial, and resurrection. So it is not required for salvation.
All right, thanks, Bob. Let's go talk to Rentha, listening in Louisville, Kentucky, on our new affiliate, WFIA. Rentha, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Well, I'm calling concerned Acts 2:38. I think he had kind of went over that a few minutes ago when Peter told the Jews that had come to Pentecost, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus ever gets the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said in Luke 24, I believe, that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in my name beginning in Jerusalem. Tell me how you reference those scriptures, please.
How I connect those or what those mean for us today? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because it sounds like you're saying that we don't need to repent. Is that what you're saying?
Repentance is a God-given thing. It's not something that we do apart from the work of God in our hearts. And it's what he does to move us from unbelief in Christ to belief in Christ. When you look at the word repentance in the New Testament, the vast majority of times that it's mentioned is in reference to initial salvation. It's the move from unbelief to belief. So that's what happens as God works in our hearts. So he turns us around. He turns us from that old way of life and puts us in a new direction. That's a part of his work in our lives. So, for me to say, you have to repent or you have to do this or do that, if we will just let the gospel message do its work, all of that will take place.
Why did Peter say that then if it wasn't part of the gospel? Why did Peter and Luke make those statements? That's the question.
Well, it's a part of salvation. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. When that message, that good news, hits our hearts, there's a repentance that takes place, a turning from unbelief to belief. And at that moment, salvation occurs. So it's giving out the news. That's the gospel message. Salvation happens, and repentance is a part of that salvation process. It's a change of belief system. So that's what it means. And so all of us go through that when we're saved. We all go from unbelief to belief. We all turn from that old way of life into a new way of life in Christ. And that's an exciting thing. And that's what the gospel message does in our hearts and lives. So.
All right, thank you.
Does that make sense to you?
Thank you, Renta. Good to hear from you. Bob, quickly on to New York City. Let's talk to Tanya, listening on WMCA. Tanya, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Well, yes, I had a question about when someone receives the Lord in their heart. Wouldn't the natural thing be for, like, this hunger to come into the heart of the person to want to get to know God and want to get to know him through his word? In other words, evidences of salvation of someone being born again?
Well, that's a great question and a great point. And yes, Jesus Christ has come to live inside of us. And so we're going to see evidences of his presence in us. We might have a feeling of being cleansed from top to bottom. That's an evidence of Christ's work in our hearts and lives. We might experience a release of guilt. That's evidence of Christ's work in our lives. So there are certainly things that we're going to see that are there because Christ is there. That's the great news of the gospel, isn't it, Richard, that he's alive and we can expect him to show himself in and through us in various ways.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I used to struggle with this because I was such a behaviorist. I said, I know I'm saved, so therefore I will behave better. Instead of saying, I know I'm saved, thank you, Jesus, I will focus on you and let you change me from the inside out. And so some of these evidences of salvation are instantaneous. Otherwise, we would be overcome with grief at our own failures. But there are other evidences that take time as the Holy Spirit renews our minds and teaches us how to be children of God. And so, we we absolutely look for evidences in our own lives, but only as a means of saying thank you to God for what he has done. We don't look for evidence in my life, or especially in any other person's life, to prove to me that they're nice people now. Because it's different for each of us. The things that each of us have to drop off, the background, the history, the pains we've been through, the victories we've had, everybody's different. And so I love the way this works. Like Bob said, that instantaneously you know you're a forgiven person, you know you're accepted, you know you're loved by Jesus himself. And because of those things, that gives you the willingness to allow the Spirit to start chipping away at the stuff that has built up over time, so he can, you know, get rid of all of that stuff, and we begin to actually show the love of God to others around us. It happens at different rates for every one of us, and it's one of the reasons why we're called together as a church, so we can build each other up and encourage each other as we go through this process.
You know, Richard, one of the things, as you were talking, when I really came to grips with what Christ had accomplished in my life, the fact that he had made me alive together with Christ, you know, I had gone through college and I'd gone to all the fraternity parties, and there was just this emptiness there. Mm-hmm. And I kept going back thinking, you know, maybe this one would be good and really satisfying and that sort of thing. And when I really understood what Christ accomplished, I felt satisfied. I felt complete inside, and that I didn't have to go to those parties or other things trying to find something that would satisfy me. I found it in Christ. That was evidence of what had been accomplished inside of me. I've talked to folks who were involved with alcohol and with drug addictions, and when they finally understood, and I mean really understood, not just given lip service to the gospel message, but truly understood and received Jesus, their testimony is that the desire to drink just went away. Now, that doesn't happen with everybody, but with certain people, that was the evidence. And so we just are unique. And those evidences that we have are unique to our situations. So we can make general statements, and those general statements aren't necessarily going to cover every single person. So if Christ has come to live in a person's heart, we can guarantee that there's going to be some sign, some evidence that reality is there.
Yes, indeed. Tanya, you hold the line. We're going to put you on hold and let our operator pick you up. We have that special gift for you, the CD called The Basic Gospel Journey. And thank you for being a part of this edition of People to People. Very quickly, a final question, guys. Scripture states that Jesus' resurrected body showed the marks from the nails and spears. In terms of the resurrection of the body, is there anything mentioned in the Scriptures that would prohibit the choice of cremation rather than burial?
There's nothing in the Word of God that prohibits cremation. Today, it's become a very common method, simply from an economic standpoint. I think the Christian way has always been burial. In light of the message that, you know, the body's going to be raised, a new body. But as far as cremation, there's nothing in the Bible that prevents that whatsoever. So that's a choice that you sit down and make. And, you know, you can feel confident one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, Bob and Richard, thank you very much for your input on this edition of People to People. I know our listeners are benefiting from the broadcast day by day, and we are just about out of time. But, friends, want to remind you that at Basic Gospel, we are excited to be journeying with you in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. You know, everyone is on a journey, but not all of us know where our journey will take us. This is your invitation to take a journey to life and freedom. A journey that begins and ends with Jesus Christ. If you've been confused about the direction of your life, the truth in this message will give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's a CD message called The Basic Gospel Journey. It's our gift to you during the month of June. Just click A Gift for You at basicgospel.net or call and speak with Billy at 1-800-727-2828. That's basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospels.